weren't a lot of fun, huh? Prairie Rose from Roxy Music and What a Bring Down is Cream. Eddie Money, new record, I Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. And Shanghai Noodle Factory from Traffic. These are the Rocks, KROQ, AM and FM, with the eerie grin of the shadow. Tonight at 7 o'clock.
He always knows where trouble is. He's around, he'll make it his. And you'd be smart to let him by. Or he may cut you down to size. He'll find you if you're on the run. He'll fight the odds on one-on-one. Don't ask him why he stays around. Cause nothing I can knock him down. Just relax. Here comes tracks. And if you've got a problem with some maniacs, send them to tracks.
Mike! Come on! Let's move it!
Sorry, I was just grabbing the cookies out of the oven.
How'd they turn out?
We'll see soon enough. Welcome to another episode of The Projection Booth. I'm Mike White, and with me as always is Mr. Mondo Justin.
Hello out there, everyone in Radio Land. You see, you can call us Radio Aces, and we can offer you...
Whoa, dude, we're not covering tape heads this week. That's next week. It was your pick this week, remember? We're talking tracks. It's why I was upstairs baking my arse off for you, making your precious chili con cookies for the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, so why don't you, I can't wait to have those. Why don't you tell everyone the good news this week? And can I get a cookie real fast?
No, wait till the end of the show. And yes, so this episode marks the first episode of The Projection Booth that will be airing in syndication for us over at Jackalope Radio. So Jackalope listeners, thanks for tuning into our show.
Indeed. This week was my pick, and I've chosen something a little off the beaten path. I've picked the 1989 Dino De Laurentiis oddball action spoof Tracks, starring Shadow Stevens and Robert Davi.
Goonies!
Shh! And the beautiful and ever-lovely orgasmic Priscilla Barnes.
Love me some Three's Company, PB.
Right. So Tracks has never, you know, seen the light of day on DVD to date. It's quite a shame because it's actually a lot of fun. You know, it's a film about a former small-town sheriff that turns all-world mercenary. He gets burned out on you know, doing the killing for hire thing. He decides to call it quits to become the next famous Amos. And yes, that's the guy that makes cookies and sells them in all the malls across the United States. You know, Trax figures if Amos can do it, so can he. On the way to building his cookie empire, he encounters a small town that's ruled by an evil crime lord who's played with comic genius by Robert Davi.
Goonies!
Dude, one more time. Seriously. Anyways. So Davi tries to ease the tension by offering Trax a limited partnership by buying into Trax's cookie business, but Trax is offended when Davi's character, Aldo Pellucci, tells him that his cookies could use a little less chili, causing an all-out gun battle, which makes Trax threaten Pellucci to get out of town, and, you know, Trax is forced to stand tall, the small town eventually gets saved, and his cookie business is a success across the United States.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. I can't imagine reading the script for the first time.
I know, right? This seemed like such a good idea when they wrote it. You know, I've been championing this film for years, actually. Even before I even knew what it was called, I saw it for the first time back in around 90 on HBO late one night, and I laughed my tuchus off, and I've never forgot it, actually. You know, I didn't take the time to look it up until about a couple years ago when I first saw there was a Showtime remake that Mad TV's Michael McDonald directed of the Roger Corman Bucket of Blood, and it had Anthony Michael Hall and Will Ferrell in it, and it was called The Death Artist, and Shadow Stevens is also in it, and so was Ming Stoll. You know, so I went on a shadow kick for a while because, of course, you know, everyone listening should know already that Shadow Stevens is not only an actor and a television voiceover announcer, but he's also one of the biggest radio DJs in the history of American radio. You know, he's like a radio god, super influential. I'm a huge radio fan, so I'm a huge Shadow fan. You know, Mike, you're a first timer. The Trax Virgin this week. Are you on Trax with Trax or off Trax with Trax, and why?
I think I'm on track with Trax. I did see it for the first time this week and was pretty happy with it. It is goofy as hell.
I'm really glad you liked it. I was a little worried that you weren't going to like it, actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I can see where you having seen it back in the early 90s, where it would be, you know, what the heck is this kind of thing? And yeah, watching it now, it's like, where did this thing come from? You know, I had never heard of it even before when you had talked about it. I was like, okay, I don't know what this thing is, and I can't say that I've ever seen Shadow Stevens in an action movie before. And yeah, which, you know, I'm a big Robert Davi fan. He's in one of my favorite Christmas movies of all times, Die Hard. So it was really nice to see him in this. And he's looking pretty svelte, looking pretty good, you know, nice young Robert Davi. And he's very lovable in this film for being such a horrible character.
This is true. And you know, that's the funny thing is, when I first saw it for the first time, like I said, I couldn't remember the title of it, and I didn't care. I saw it with a couple friends late one evening, and for years, you know, we would just be sitting around drinking or something, and we'd be like, you know, speaking to the mic, or we'd say, "This cookies could use some more chili." You know, we always were quoting it, but we never had any inclination of what it was called or even cared to look it up. We just knew that Shadow Stevens did this weird movie and about a guy that quits killing people to make cookies professionally. So we always just loved the movie a ton. And you know, with that being said, I want to play a clip real fast of the movie. This is a scene where Shadow Stevens, as mercenary, decides to call it quits and become a cookie baker.
Roll one, take one.
I've been thinking about it. It's time to go home.
And do what?
I don't know. Did you ever get tired of shooting people?
See, there it is. You're just exhausted, wrung out. War will do that to you. I told you, get up a little early, meditate with me, but you don't listen.
I think I want to give cookies a shot.
Cookies? You want to take time off and just eat cookies? You'll get fat.
I want to bake them. It's next big war. Cookies.
Cookies?
This guy is good. I can take him.
I should have seen this coming. It's the obvious move. Killing to cookies. It's like where you've been headed all along. What the hell's the matter with your cookies? You can't bake. You're gonna wuss out? Wear an apron? You gotta wear an apron.
Okay, so we're back, and you know, before we get into it, I just wanna, you know, explain to people listening to the show this week that we had some technical issues. It's really my fault. I messed up and my computer kind of crashed on me, and I lost the interview content I had for this week's show. I had interviewed Robert Davi and Shadow Stevens for the show, and, you know, they're gone now. So you don't actually get to hear what they had to say about the movie. There were some short interviews because there's not a heck of a lot of in-depth things that you can mention about Trax. So I do apologize. Okay, so, you know, getting right into the thick of everything, you know, the concept for Trax is really interesting, and I wanted to see if you thought ultimately, you know, does the concept work? I mean, I know you said you liked the film, but it's quite an original concept. So, do you think it works? Do you think this film is for everyone?
I don't know if it's for everyone. I think it's definitely for fans of parody films. It's not like a ZAZ parody where everything is, everything is a joke layered on top of each other, but it's definitely a parody of the action film. Just the way that, you know, Trax is pretty much the biggest badass around, and, you know, nothing fazes him. And he could be portrayed as being kind of naive because it's just like, whatever, you know, he'll walk into a room, there's 50 guys there that want him dead, and he'll kill them all kind of thing, or take care of them all however he wants. But, there's a level of absurdism to it that I just really found appealing. And I think one of my favorite scenes of the whole film is the whole montage of all the different places that he's involved in and just how completely unfazed he is. There's one part where he's walking along, just having a nice conversation. All these explosions are happening and everything. And he's just talking about how he wants to get out of the biz. You know, he's just kind of tired of it. So I enjoy that. It's almost like a lighthearted version of Commando or something.
Sure. And, you know, on that same level, it's what I like about the character of Trax too is he's naive, but he's also invincible, you know. And when he does actually get shot, it really rocks his world, and he's sad about it. You know, he's like really sad about it. He like mentions it to a lot of people, including Priscilla Barnes in the like amazing grocery store scene, you know, where she's like orgasmically turned on by the shot and climbs him. let's smother ourselves in cookie batter. So yeah, that's I really like it. And actually, you know, Shadow, you know, he's actually a pretty good actor. Like I've seen him in a few things, and he's got a lot of great qualities, you know, and he gives a lot of good looks. And it's interesting because and unfortunately can't hear the interview, but when I did talk to him about the film, he had told me that when he was originally given the script, it was totally different. Like it was to be played seriously. So he literally thought he was making an action movie. And then when he got down, they shot the film at North Carolina at Dino De Laurentiis' studio. And when he got down there, it had been rewritten. And, you know, he was like, basically he read it and he was just like, huh? He's like, I don't get it. And he's like, please explain it to me. Like, I'm a clever guy. I'm a funny guy. But please explain this to me. And they were like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. It's going to be great. And, you know, basically the director was a first-time director. The writer was an alcoholic and he was drunk all the time on the set. And, you know, he recounted to me that basically on the first day of shooting was over, he went back to his hotel room and he was keeping like a ledger, like a diary of sorts, writing his experiences making the movie. He wrote simply, I'm doomed.
Oh, man. That's a horrible position to be.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, and then I asked him if there was any method preparation for his character in the sense that, you know, did he study baking? And he kind of gave that a laugh and said, you know, the humor there in the facts is Trax thinks that he's actually a baker. He thinks he can do it. He thinks Famous Amos can do it, so why can't I? And, you know, that's alluded to in the point. You know, he says the next war is the cookie war.
Yeah, and I do love that, how sad he gets over being shot. You're right, that is great. Just like, I'm really sad I got shot. Yeah, and then I'm glad that Famous Amos, not to ruin anything for anybody, but I'm glad that he makes a little cameo appearance in there, too. That was really nice to see.
Right, and there were a lot of ad-libs, too, like the chili con cookies idea and the sushi cookies were Shadow's idea, and also the puppy swirls was his idea as well. That wasn't in the script.
Yeah, one thing about Shadow, he's got a really, at least in this film, I'm not sure about normally, but I imagine all the time he has this, he's got kind of a goofy face, and he's got like, it looks a little, you know, silly putty-ish, you know, and it's just kind of fun to watch him act, just to see the kind of faces that he makes. And one thing I'll have to say is that I know I've gone and I did the research on this to see if he's lost all of his hair over the years. He hasn't, but man, his hairline is real far back in this movie. And the way that he wears his hair all feathered and stuff and, you know, up the way that it is, I'm just like, not a good look.
Well, you're right. And I remember as a younger kid watching Hollywood Squares in the 80s, you know, and he was the voiceover announcer on the 80s Hollywood Squares, and they'd always cut to him. And, you know, he always had that big poofy hair then. He was always like, you know, hey, like he was Peggy Lipton in it to the camera, you know, and doing all kind of crazy hijinks. The whole reason why he had got this movie was because, you know, he was doing LA radio in LA in the late 70s and in the early 80s. And he had done these really successful commercials in LA on television, and they got a ton of notice. And De Laurentiis actually signed him to a 3-picture deal. And so Trax was the first picture in the deal. And, you know, just kind of took off for him from there. You know, he's still really successful. He's doing voiceover work. He's the voiceover. He does the announcing for the Craig Ferguson show on CBS. So, I mean, he's still got a lot going for him. And plus he's got his new radio show. So things are going really good. You know, you mentioned a little bit about the whole absurdity of the situation. I think, you know, in Trax, that's the most humorous part is just how absurd it is. And then also the subtlety of the characters, because the characters all play it very straightforward. You know, and that's what I think is the funniest part about it, is they all are very serious, no matter how silly the situation is. You know, that's totally fine and totally logical idea for him to quit being a world mercenary and make cookies. It's totally logical. And that's what humor is for me, is that aspect and just how over the top and just how silly everything is. I love it. I love it to death.
I want to give some props out to the guy that plays the police chief in this. I thought that he was absolutely hilarious. For folks listening at home, this police chief is like completely at the end of the of his rope. You know, the town is just really going to heck, and he's, you know, trying to play it straight, trying to be like, you know, we need to take control of the city and stuff. And then when Trax comes in and just starts kicking everybody's butt, the reporters are asking him at a press conference, you know, what he feels about that. And he just goes completely off about how he really feels. And the mayor's she's not very happy about the way that he's talking.
Is it true that the police aided the cowboy last night?
There are rumors that the city has actually hired this man.
Bullshit!
Hey, Peskowitz, Miami Bureau. Isn't it true that this guy is doing exactly what you want him to do?
What do you say to the story?
Is there any truth to the
rumors?
Chief Decker, what is your personal feeling about this man's approach to law and order?
What about it, Chief?
Well, compared to a lot of judges who think that adequate punishment for murderers and child molesters is a tiny room with a sink and a toilet and TV, three meals a day, recreation, library, schooling, conjugal visitations, movies, and a good chance of getting out and doing it all over again, it is damn refreshing.
You know, I want to talk about the performances of, in particular, Robert Davi and Priscilla Barnes. You know, Robert Davi is, for me, what makes the movie as well. Like, Shadow's great as Trax, and it's hilarious. But Davi's got, in my opinion, the best lines in the movie, and his character is just a ton of fun to watch. My favorite is just he's always, no matter what he says, he's like, you know, he just says something. He's like, or have you killed? That's the best part about it. You know, he's this typical guy. When I talk to him, you know, he had come off of, he did the Raw Deal movie. And the producer, I think, on Raw Deal was the same guy who was putting together Trax. And that's why he got involved with Trax.
Which is funny, because when I said before that this was like the comedy version of Commando, really it's much more like Raw Deal, especially because of the you shouldn't drink and bake at the same, you know, that line. So I definitely appreciated that.
Right. And then also when I talked to him, it was really funny because, you know, he's like, it's really funny you contacted me about Trax, because I've never, ever talked to any person besides you that's ever mentioned Trax to me. I get asked about Goonies, Raw Deal, The Bond Picture, you know, all these other movies. You're the first person that's talked to me about Trax. Yeah, so, you know, Davi's first film was actually this film he did with Frank Sinatra, and he got really familiar and became kind of friendly with Sinatra. It was called Contract on Cherry Street, and it was a TV movie. It was made in 1977. So, you know, he's an Italian-American. You know, let's just buy into the fact that he's an Italian-American. We'll stereotype him and think that he's familiar with the mob lifestyle. So let's just play it at that. In addition, you know, I think we should spend some time talking about Priscilla Barnes, because I heard that you're quite a fan of her in this movie.
I am quite a fan of her, and I'm quite a fan of her outfits. She wears some very luxurious satin blouses in this. I don't know why they were so distracting to me, maybe because of her sweater puppies, but it was just like, it seemed very like inappropriate mayoral wear. I'm not sure.
Yeah, how did she get elected in this small town? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that would be the prequel to Trax that we have yet to see. So maybe that was the second part of the trilogy that Shadow Stevens was booked to.
Maybe you could give me the mayoral facts of Trax, if that's at all possible. You know, I love her in this movie too, and you know, I agree with you 100% in terms of what you just said. I'm a huge Priscilla Barnes fan as well, and you know, there's that great scene, and I would love to read the script of Trax just so I could see, you know, what these characters are like on the page versus what's on the final film, because, you know, I want to see how she's written in particular, because if in the film, you know, she's the mayor of the town, just like Mike said, and she's constantly in a state of she's on the edge of orgasm every minute of the every minute of the film. You know, there's little key phrases that set her off. You know, there's this great scene, you know, in a library where Trax is researching some stuff, and she walks in to meet him, and there's this whole exchange, and, you know, he says something about satisfying something, and she just has, like, an orgasm. And she attacks him and rips his, you know, she rips her shirt off, and, you know, she basically says, well, let's play the clip.
So, you're him.
Well, not him, just me.
Why the library?
Research.
Looking for a better batter?
Oh, my rocks taste like cookies. My cookies taste like rocks.
All right. We can't have any of that. We are on opposite sides. I'm good, you're bad. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm hot, you know.
Well, I'm warmer than I was.
So are you going to tell me why I'm here, or are you just wasting my time?
Well, if I'm going to finish the job off right.
Oh, job off.
I have to have the names of the power brokers, the crime bosses, the big guys.
Oh, the big guys. Right.
Well...
Fine now, big guys. So why didn't you just ask the chief?
Well, you pay the bills. You're the one I have to satisfy.
Oh, satisfy. Yes. I pay. You satisfy. Oh. How do you want it? Cash or trash?
Trash. Kill.
Oh, you getting any?
You know.
Oh. Mayors can't fornicate with the voters. It compromises the office. I haven't been laid since I was elected. 3 years ago. Let's dick her.
Oh my
God. Oh. Okay, so yeah, that's it's such a great scene, and you know, there's another one that we can't play because of the swearing in it, but there's a great scene that Mike and I just talked about earlier, which is where they're in the grocery store, and he's looking for sugar in the baking aisle, and she walks up to her, to Trax, and she basically wraps her fist in her head, you know, insinuating something very sexual. And, you know, she's just a great character. It's just a well-done character, super hilarious character. I just love it a ton. You know, something I want to talk about, too, is the fact that when the film was done, and I talked to Shadow about this, actually, you know, the film, it only played in theaters for, like, a minute, literally. And everyone was really unhappy with the cut.
It literally played just a minute. Like, they just played the opening first minute, and then they turned off the lights, or turned up the lights, and they're like, sorry, folks, gotta go home.
Were you there?
I was there at the premiere in North Carolina.
Yeah, and so everyone was kind of upset with how the film turned out, and, you know, Shadow actually tried to convince De Laurentiis to lend him the raw materials, because at the time he had his own production company, and he begged and pleaded with De Laurentiis to let him recut the movie, and Laurentiis refused.
Well, this movie came out in 1988, and I know we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about Tapeheads, but 88 was not a very good year for Dino De Laurentiis. This was right around the time that his whole world imploded and his company went out of business. Every movie that was involved with De Laurentiis got thrown into basically bankruptcy court and got, you know, held. So I think Trax escaped that. I think it came out before the whole bankruptcy thing, but Dino probably had some other things on his mind at the time and didn't really give a rip about Drax.
What? No, you're right. It's funny because they did kind of save the film. They licensed it to HBO, put it on cable. That's where I saw it, of course. And HBO Home Video was who originally actually released the film on VHS. So, you know, thanks to that smart decision, everyone can see Drax now, you know, which is another example of it's such a anomaly this movie is. It's such an oddity that, and it could only exist to me in the VHS era, you know, because how many VHSs out there, you know, were released that people haven't seen yet? Even there's still probably hidden gems out there that no one's seen, you know, and Drax is definitely one of those. So I wanted to see, Mike, if you know, do you have a couple oddities from the VHS era that you think no one knows about and we should discuss?
Well, this kind of goes along with our discussion last week of Crime Wave. When that came out as the big Crime Wave on VHS, and that's the only way that folks can see it. But yeah, there are, I'm trying to think of some other films that I've seen just on VHS that aren't available currently on DVD or, you know, like Citizens Band, I won't say is a oddity. It's a really great film by Jonathan Demme. And I don't understand why that one isn't out on DVD, but that one's currently only on VHS, though it is available on Netflix streaming. There's one called The Baron that I really like a lot. It's a, I hesitate to say it's a blaxploitation film because there are blaxploitation elements to it. There's a lot of violence and there's some, you know, some torture scenes and like some drug dealing and all this kind of stuff. And that's, you know, like the B story, and the A story is a filmmaker trying to get his film made, and he will stop at nothing to get his movie made, which is pretty unique to the blaxploitation canon. And then, you know, I know you only asked for a couple, but I'll give you a third one. One of my favorite films that still isn't out on DVD, and even talking to the filmmaker, John Daniels, he's like, I don't know why anybody would want to see this on DVD. So I don't know if it'll ever get released on DVD, but that's his film Getting Over, where he plays record executive Mike Barnett in charge of Impossible Funky Records, a great black label that is being put down by the white parent company. And they, of course, everything gets resolved with a Battle of the Bands. And I kind of, you know, I always enjoy Battle of the Bands movies, even though these are all disco bands. So there's no instrument playing going on. It's just a lot of singing.
So it sounds like it's the black exploitation version of Arga Music War.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I have a couple that are, you know, really oddball ones that I'm a huge fan of that never have seen the light of day anywhere. One is this film called Fatal Skies, and the director of the film is actually escaping me right now, but Glenn Colburn actually has something to do with the film, and he was the director of Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. And but Fatal Skies is this really hilarious movie. It takes itself super seriously, and it's got Timothy Leary as an evil chemical dumper who's hell-bent on stopping these rascally kids from exposing his operation in the middle of the desert. And, you know, they discover his whole thing because they're really big into skydiving. And in the beginning of the film, they go up in this plane, they skydive, and they land in the middle of this wasteland filled with all these toxic chemical barrels, and they find out Leary is behind it, and Leary is so good in it. Like, he's always swearing, he's pushing people around, he's punching people, and yeah, I mean, you've heard Timothy Leary talk before,
right?
So it's like, no matter what he says, unless he's talking about some third eye metaphysics, it's unbelievable,
right?
So when he's telling, you know, when he's saying to these kids, like, you darn kids, you stay away from my operation, I'm gonna kill you, you know, it's like, you cannot help but laugh,
right?
It's so funny. And then the other film that I really like that a lot of people haven't seen or even heard of that's not on DVD is this film called Shack Out on 101 from 1955. And it's got Lee Marvin in it and Keenan Wynn. Keenan Wynn was, you know, he's a huge character actor throughout the 50s and the 60s. He was in Jerry Lewis's Cinderfella. And Lee Marvin is this he plays this character named Slob. And he's a short order cook in this diner on the coast in California. And it's this whole story about military secrets he buys military secrets from this installation, sells them. And there's all these other little subplots going on. It's really good, actually. It's kind of noirish. And then that film was the inspiration for this film that came out in 1995 that I really like called Payback with Joan Severance, which is really unrelated to Shack 101. on the story level, but as the location and some of the other themes going on, it's related. But yeah, I want to cover Payback later in this year.
Yeah, and Check Out on 101 is terrific. They showed that on TCM Underground. I think it was either last year or the year before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was the first time I got to see it. I remember they carried that on VHS over at Thomas Video, but I never rented it. But yeah, it was really nice to see, and good quality print of it and everything out on TCM Underground. And yeah, it was nice to see Lee Marvin and Keenan Wynn in a movie together, because I'm a big fan of Point Blank, and they're in that together as well. So yeah, that's a great film. Really good, really underrated, and I wish that was more readily available.
I know, me too. I have a VHS that I bought a few years back at like a thrift store. So I guess we should talk a little bit about, what is your favorite scene in the movie in Tracks?
I guess my favorite scene in the movie, I should probably say something with Shadow Stevens, because he is such an integral part to the film. But I really do like, I really like that police chief. I really just think that he's kind of where it's at in this movie. It kind of reminds me of Reginald Val Johnson in the first Die Hard, and I probably was thinking Die Hard while I was watching this because Robert Davi was in it. But I think him, and I think just his explosion at the press conference is my favorite part.
When you think of Reginald Johnson, you're sure not thinking of Family Matters?
I am definitely not thinking of Family Matters.
That's such a great scene. My favorite scene actually is, I think, one of the funniest scenes in the film. And also, when I talked to Robert Davi about this scene, he had told me that when he was actually at the first screening of the movie with an audience, and he said that he had never heard laughter in the audience as prominent as he had when the scene was on the screen. And he actually thinks, and he wants to be, he's more than willing to argue the fact that he thinks this is the longest fart in cinema history.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if there's a fart counter out there. Maybe some sort of website out there that keeps track of that kind of stuff.
This is a scene that comes near the end of the film. It's basically Trax has threatened crime lord Aldo Pulci to get out of town or he's dead. And so Aldo tries to make amends, and he shows up out there. Trax and his partner in the film, they're making cookies outside. And so Pulci shows up and gets out of his car. He's like, I'm clean. Don't frisk me. I'm clean. And he basically says, look, we can be friends. We can be partners. Let me buy into your cookie business. And, I've got this great slogan, which is, if you don't buy these cookies, I'll kill you. And, so at first he has to sample the goods. And, well, you should just listen.
I'm clean. See, I've been doing some thinking. And, I heard about your cookies. I mean, maybe it's time that I get into some legitimate enterprises.
You go into business with me.
You go into business with us?
That's right. I got a marketing angle. I mean, these cookies, they could taste like shit.
Can and do.
Well, you see, that's the beauty of this sales pitch. Ready? Buy these cookies, or I kill you.
You're unbelievable. When people finally buy and eat my cookies, it'll be because they are truly tasty, not because someone is threatening their life.
Try one? Thank you. Smells familiar. What's in this?
Chili.
Chili.
Chili con cookie.
Very good. Maybe a little too much chili, but I think you're onto something.
Pulci, you were supposed to be out of town by today. I just gave you a 1-hour extension.
We can't work this out?
I'd be running along.
I could get this. You know,
I think if I threatened to kill people, if they didn't eat your cookies, they still wouldn't eat them. You know what I think of your cookies? That's what I think of your cookies.
Let's move up and win.
You know, one of my favorite bits of the movie is just such a throwaway part, but I love it, is when they're doing the chase on the rooftops and he crashes into the one house and he's like, what's that delicious smell? And they're cooking tuna turnovers or something that's really awful kind of cookies. And he's just like, oh, this is my market. You know, I can't wait. I wish that those folks would show up again at some point during the movie.
I really love that scene too, because his interest in cookies is so wrong. He's attracted to tuna cookies, sushi cookies, chili con cookies, puppy swirls that are in the shape that when they come out of the oven, they look like dog drops. You know, that's my favorite part about it, is just how off he is in his interest in cookies. And another scene, again, it's a Robert Davi scene that I think is absolutely hilarious, and it's very Airplane-ish, Naked Gun-ish. Is there's a scene where Davi is sitting in his bed with his wife, and he's lifting barbells, and he's apparently got a sexual issue, and his wife is trying to pleasure him, while he's working out, and eventually Trax comes busting into his house on a motorcycle, and Trax says, he goes up, and Pelucci, the camera cuts to this shot of Robert Davi in bed, and you can see his blanket over his nether regions get very large, and it literally almost goes to the top of his face. You can't even see his face. And there's a great scene there. After Trax leaves, his wife, because his wife's basically like, if he's leaving town, I'm not leaving town, he's a killer. And then so finally, they have this argument, Trax leaves, and then he just really pulls back the blanket slightly, and he's tired of her nagging him, so he goes speaking to the mic, and he looks down. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. I'm going to play that clip real fast.
We're getting something, baby. That is, we got it. We got it, baby. Roll over. Roll over. Roll over. I'll have you killed. Now watch. Now watch, huh? That's it. Now watch, huh?
Very funny.
Up. 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 Pelucci, you've got until this time tomorrow to be packed and gone.
Hey, what about me?
You go where I go.
Bullshit, Ludwig. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, you're not going anywhere, huh? Do me a favor. Take off with this bitch.
I said I'm staying put.
Kill her. Go ahead, kill her.
I think you two should try and work this out after I'm gone.
Oh, that's no help. Tell her that what happens to me happens to her.
Ordinarily, when a marriage has been good...
Good! I am sick of guys coming in here, threatening you, looking for you, leaving a joint like this, okay? I've had it!
You've got until tomorrow. I gotta ride out of here.
Do you hear me?
Speak it to the microphone.
Ahoy, mateys. This is KAB, Antonio Bay. Stevie Wayne here, beaming a signal across the sea. I'll be here playing music all through the witching hour. I'm still waiting to hear from that weatherman. But in the meantime, stay here with me. Be sure to visit our sponsor, Paracinema Magazine. They're the source for all your genre movie needs. Check them out online at paracinema.net. Tell them Stevie sent you. Keep me turned on for a while, and I'll do my best to do the same for you.
The smooth sound. Fabulous 1340. KAB.
Hi, I'm John Waters, and you're listening to The Projection Booth. Keep on listening, or I'll have you killed.
Look out! Get down! The Darktown strutters are riding to town.
They're fast as a jet, sharp as Gillette, and what you see is what you get.
But baby, I'm for real. I'm as real can get. If what you're looking for, then what you see is what you get.
Ha!
What you see, what you see, is what you get. It's what you get.
America, Shirley Washington, Trina Parks, Roger E. Mosley. Better move your butt when these ladies strut. Dark Town Strutters, strut to see it.
The ugly bruise of fear is swollen and festering.
A claw-fingered, scaly-skinned, half-human crustacean.
The black hole of despair. The clenched fist of doubt.
A frenzied bedlam of blood-curdling horror.
What if things were really getting better?
Hold on, folks. We're expressed to the top floor.
The Vertical Pandemonium Audio Theater.
Only on mentalradio.net.
Yo, friends, check this out. Rasta's the name, and they call me the king. Grandmaster of the chicken and the waffle thing. I sit now, read my lips, and friends, don't miss a word. Cause the Grandmaster's gonna... give you the bird! Now I'm the baddest DJ on the fast food scene. And my food's so cheap, you'll lick your plate clean. When I slow down, the ladies all beg.
Let's go, let me taste your chicken leg.
Come on, fly girls, and wiggle them their bottoms.
Waffles just pie and cakes with little squares on them.
Now when you salivate and hear Pavlov's bell, don't go to no place where they serve you ill. Roscoe's, that's the place to be. Just like you see it on the TV. Come on, all you homeboys, and bring your freaks down and toss them chicken and waffles around. You may be ugly or smell real funny, but school don't care, cause they save you cash money. I ain't lying.
Okay, we're back. That was a short clip from next week's show, my pick, Tapeheads from 1988. We'll be playing interviews that I did with the film's screenwriter and director.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be really fun to talk about tapeheads, actually. You know, I just watched it the other day, and it was a lot of fun because I probably haven't seen tapeheads in the better part of a decade, at least.
Yeah, and it's another 88 De Laurentiis film, so there'll be plenty more to talk about. So, Justin, final thoughts on Tracks?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a super hilarious film. It's really well done, very tongue-in-cheek. Just a goofball comedy that if you know you want a night of fun and kind of laughing at something stupid and pointless, check Tracks out. It's the way to go. And then also, you know, just like last week's show on Crime Wave, I think it's another film that really needs to be on DVD, and it's kind of a tragedy that it's not. And you mean they put out worse things on DVD, so why not Tracks?
They put out a Criterion of Armageddon. They should put out these films on DVD.
Listen, I'm proud owner of the Criterion Armageddon.
So am I. So I'm just saying. You know, but the only unfortunate thing is that now I have two versions of Armageddon, the original and the Criterion. So if I can have two versions of that, two versions of Con Air, two versions of Fifth Element, I should be able to have one version of Tracks and one version of Crime Wave.
So I got to ask, is it time to have a cookie?
Yeah, I'll go up. I'll get some cookies.
So, Mike, while you're going up to grab some chili con cookies, I just want to take a few minutes to give some quick shout-outs. You know, I'd like to give a special thank you, even though I couldn't air the interview. You know, Bill Dever from the B-Movie Celebration was actually instrumental in terms of setting me up with doing the interview with Shadow Stevens. And so I really appreciate him helping me out with that. You know, Mike will be actually heading down to the B-Movie Celebration at the end of September. And so if anyone wants to go see some great films on the big screen and hang out with Mike, you can actually get more information at bmoviecelebration.com. Also, I want to invite everyone to check out Shadow Stevens' new radio program. He's back on the air. It's a regional show. It's also online in the form of a podcast. It's this really cool, weird, like crazy comedy show. It's like a freak show for your ears. And it's sort of a reminder of the crazy stuff he was doing on LA radio back in the 70s. You can check that out at mentalradio.net. And then also, since I'm shamelessly plugging stuff now, Robert Davi's got a new CD coming out. He'll be issuing the CD. It's called Davi Does Sinatra, I think, and he might be even doing a tour across the U.S. You can listen to samples. They're really great. He does a really nice job. His voice is really, really beautiful. You know, he's a trained opera singer, and so, he also covers one of my favorite Sinatra songs, which is In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, and you can check that out at DaviSingsSinatra.com. Well, we have a link on our site. And then last but not least, you know, Mike and I would like to give a big shout out to Will and Sam at the Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema podcast. It's a great show, and you can check that out at gtmc.com. You know, hopefully all will go as planned, and we'll be able to cross-pollinate each other's show soon. And then also, I want to make an announcement. Mike and I will actually be issuing a couple bonus shows in the next couple weeks. Mike and I will be talking with our friend Josh Hadley from the Radio Jones podcast, and we'll be discussing the 1999 Captain America versus the new 2011 film Captain America, and we'll be playing back an interview that Mike and I did with Albert Pune a few months back. It's just a little something-something, and there's something else, too, coming up, but you have to wait and see.
Here, eat this. Also, if you have a fancy iPhone like I do... Sorry. Also, if you have a fancy phone like I do, you can get our show on Stitcher. You can get us on iTunes as well. So please visit us on iTunes and leave us some feedback, a comment. It helps.
Yeah.
You okay?
Dude, these cookies have way too much chili in them.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Be sure to check out our show's official website at projection-booth.com, and we'll be posting Mike's recipe for chili con cookies as he made for the show today. They are good, even though they could use a little less chili.
I mean, I guess it was, there weren't any directions on the internet or in any cookbook, about how to make cookies with chili in them, so just be grateful that I made them at all.
Yeah, you're right. I'm really sorry. All right, we'll see you next week.
Eat up. You're not leaving until you finish those damn cookies.
All right, here's Rabbit Davi singing some Sinatra.
Do you want to dance?
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied.
Either. He went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, and you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's
back. When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's
back. So look out now, 'cause he's coming after you. Such a long time.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Now he's back and things will be fine.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You're gonna be sorry you were ever born.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
'Cause it's kind of big and he's awful strong. My reputation.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, I can see him coming. Now you better start a running.
For a dollar. Ah!